بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, yesterday we had commenced the discussion regarding Surah Bani Israel, also known as Surah Al-Isra, which was named after the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night journey from Al-Masjid Al-Haram to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses an attribute, a characteristic of man, of insan, that is natural, and that is his tendency to do things with haste. That a person does not do things with deliberation, with composure, but generally insan, mankind, is very hasty in whatever he does. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses one of the consequences of being hasty. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Allah says, man makes dua for evil just as he makes dua for good. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. And the reason for this is because insan is very hasty. Now what is meant by this, that man makes dua for evil? So here Mufassirin have explained that when a person becomes angry, as an example, his children are misbehaving, they are not listening to him, and he has reprimanded them a few times, he has already scolded them, and now that he cannot control himself, so he now curses them without realizing. I wish I don't have to listen to you, or I don't want to see you again. I wish I didn't have to deal with this. We find these statements are common upon our tongues, especially when it comes to our masturat, the women folk. So here Allah says the reason for this, kana al-insanu ajula, that man is very hasty by nature. And that, therefore, this is a quality or an attribute that a person has to work very hard to eradicate. Because this is a natural characteristic, an attribute that comes naturally. According to some narrations, again, Allah knows best regarding the authenticity. It is mentioned when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Nabi Adam alayhi salam, then Allah fashioned him and then blew his soul into him from the top coming down. So the soul first entered into his head, and thereafter into his face and throat and coming down. And before it could even reach his feet, he attempted to wake up and to move. And of course he couldn't do so because there was no life in his feet. So from this we understand, كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Man is very hasty by nature. And therefore this is something that we have to be very careful about and look into, that we should not be making bad dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion mentioned, لَا تَدْعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. That don't make bad dua, don't make dua against yourselves and your wealth. Why? Because it's possible that it may be a moment of acceptance. Allah may accept that dua or that statement of yours, and then you will then regret and you will express remorse over what you had said. Like how our parents, grandparents would say to us that it is قَبُول نِغَرِي. It's a time of acceptance. Or the angels may say Ameen. So rather you don't just say things, but think very carefully before you speak. Al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That composure and to do things with deliberation, this is from Allah. And hastiness comes from the side of shaytan. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses two categories of insan as far as this world is concerned. Man kana yuridu al-ajila. The first category Allah says, that person who desires al-ajila. Ajila refers to this world. His efforts, his sacrifice, his toil, his work, all of this is just for this world. His gaze is only on this world, not on the hereafter. Allah calls it al-ajila, that which is immediate. He wants immediate rewards, immediate benefits. And of course we know the normal word that is used for this world is dunya. Dunya comes from the Arabic word dana yadnu, which means something very lowly. Something which has no status, no loftiness, something which is low, which is despised, despicable. Dunya is called dunya because it is lowly compared to the akhirat. So Allah says that person who desires this world, that which is immediate, then عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَن نُرِيدُ. Allah says we will give whatever we wish to whomsoever we wish. In other words, despite your best efforts and your work and you trying to attain this world, if we want to give it to you, we'll give it to you. If we want to give it to somebody else, we'll give it to that person. But ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ. Whether you get in this world or not, then we will now appoint Jahannam for him. In other words, Jahannam will be his abode in the hereafter. Because he didn't have the intention to earn for the akhirat, يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا, and he will enter Jahannam in this condition that he will be madhmoom, he will be disgraced, he will be humiliated, madhura, and he will be distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, the second person, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ, that person who desires the hereafter, his gaze is on the next life, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and then he makes a concerted effort towards it, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ, whilst he is a believer, then Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا, these people, their efforts will be appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So three conditions are mentioned here. A person has to have desire for the akhirat. He has to have his gaze on the hereafter. He wants to attain thawab in the hereafter. Secondly, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, he makes a concerted effort. He doesn't say that I want the akhirat, but then he's not making any effort towards it. And the third quality, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, he has to have iman. And under this, a very lengthy discussion regarding a disbeliever in this world who does good deeds, ulama of aqidah are very, very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and fair. Allah will not allow any person's good deed to go unpaid. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward a person, but if he did not have iman, the reward will be in this world. We find a person, maybe a very generous person, a very kind person, he's always helping people, or he's looking after nature, he's looking after animals, he has good mannerisms, good etiquette, but he is a non-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate this or will repay this in this world. Allah will give him some wealth or some fame, or Allah will protect him from some sickness, some illness, some calamity by virtue of his good deeds. But the condition for reward in the akhirat is that a person has to do good deeds with iman. For a person to be rewarded in the hereafter, he has to have iman when he carries out these good deeds. And thereafter we completed Surah Bani Israel, and we commenced with Suratul Kahf. And here in the hadith, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah has mentioned the narration that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started to invite the people towards Islam, and the Quraysh of Makkah realized that his following is increasing, is growing, and people are taking to what he is saying, then they sent two individuals, An-Nadr ibn al-Harith and Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt. They sent them to the Yahud, to a tribe of Jews who were living on the outskirts of Makkah. And their reasoning was this, that these Jews, they have experience with the scripture, they have more knowledge than us, so we will send this delegation to them and ask them, how do we deal with this person who is claiming to be a Nabi of Allah? So these two people, Nadr bin Harith, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, they come to the Jews and they put the entire case before them that, listen, we have this person, he is claiming to be a Nabi of Allah, and what do we do? So the Yahud say to them that we need to first test him to see, is he a true Nabi or not? Perhaps he is an imposter, perhaps he is lying. So therefore ask him three questions. And if he answers these questions and he knows what you are speaking about, then this is a sign that he is receiving revelation from Allah and he is a truthful Nabi. So the three questions that were asked, or that they told them to ask, firstly, ask him about that group of youngsters who had to leave their town and run away. What happened to them? Secondly, ask him about that king or that ruler whose empire spanned the east to the west. And thirdly, ask him about the ruh and the soul. What knowledge does he have about it? So these people come back to Makkah Mukarramah and they pose these three questions to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says to them, I will inform you tomorrow. Of course, anticipating wahi coming down, the hadith then mentions, وَلَمْ يَسْتَثْنِي, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not say insha'Allah. And therefore the next day, Jibreel doesn't come down. The second day he doesn't come. The third day he doesn't come. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam becomes worried and concerned that there is now a break in wahi. And together with this, the Quraysh are now mocking him and taunting him that you said you're going to tell us the answers to these questions and now you have nothing to say and we have now found you out. You are a liar, you are an imposter. 15 days pass like this. Finally, Jibreel alayhi salam comes and Suratul Kahf is then revealed, where two of these three questions are answered, and the third is answered in the surah preceding it, Surah Bani Israel, with regard to the people of of the cave, or those that group of youngsters. So we know the entire incident, Ashabul Kahf. They are known as the dwellers of the cave or the sleepers of the cave, and the entire incident. Mufti Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatuhu is of the opinion, and he has got some research behind this, that the cave of these people is located in Amman in Jordan. There are other views. Some have mentioned Turkey, some have mentioned other places, but it seems as though this is where the cave is located. The exact spot, Allah knows best. There are ziyarat and guides that go, but Allah knows best the exact location. But it is around this region, and this incident took place approximately 100 to 300 years after the ascension of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a Nabati king who was an idol worshipper. He was ruling over the region, and the people had fallen into idol worship. These youngsters had intelligence. They realized this is not correct. So they came together and they decided, our only way out is to take ourselves out of this environment. And the lesson Mufassirin say, sometimes we may find ourselves in a situation where we cannot change the environment. A person is somewhere, he doesn't have the authority to change the conditions. Perhaps there is music playing, perhaps there is intermingling taking place, whatever it may be. The next solution, if a person cannot change what is happening, is to take himself out of that environment, to go into a pure and clean environment. What will Allah do? وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ Allah says, when you made the decision to move away, when you took that difficult decision to move away and separate, now the command came, فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ Now Allah said, take refuge in the cave. Allah will spread His blanket of mercy upon you. And we know how Allah took care of them. 309 years they slept in that cave. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ Allah says, we kept on turning their bodies in their sleep so that the insects of the earth do not eat them. Together with this, we averted the sun from them so that at the time of sunrise and sunset, this did not disturb their sleep and wake them up. And then Allah speaks about an animal, a dog, which belonged to one of them. And some have said that this was a hunting animal which belonged to one of them. And this dog, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ These dwellers of the cave were inside the cave, and the dog was at the courtyard or at the opening, and it had stretched out its paws. And this dog also went into a sleep for this in the same period of time, 309 years. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions, هَذِهِ فَائِدَةُ صُحْبَةِ الْأَخْيَارِ This is the benefit of keeping company with the righteous people, is that this dog, which is an animal, which normally would have been completely forgotten, but now it is mentioned in Quran, so that when you and I sit 1400 years after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah knows best how many years after this incident, and you and I read these verses, we are rewarded for reading these verses. Just for remembering or thinking about this animal and reading it and now discussing it, we are getting sawab and reward because of the suhbah and the companionship of the righteous people. We can imagine if Allah honored an animal like this, that Allah showered His mercy upon this animal, mentioned it in the Quran, if we will associate with the righteous, of course, how much won't Allah shower us in His mercy? So this was the first question. The second was regarding that king whose empire spanned the east to the west, and this is a person by the name of Dhul Qarnain, which comes towards the end of Suratul Kahf, in the beginning of the 16th juz, and inshallah we'll discuss that more tomorrow. And the third question, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ The answer which appears in Surah Bani Israel, they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, tell us about the ruh, about the soul. The answer came, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي That the ruh, the soul, is something which is from the matters of my Rabb. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا And you have not been given much knowledge about it. This is a secret of Allah, exactly how the soul works and the link it enjoys with the body. Yes, there are ahadith describing it, but generally, insan does not have that level of detailed knowledge regarding the ruh. So these three questions were posed, and eventually after that period of 15 days, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then answered these questions successfully. And like this, it then became apparent to the people that this was a true Nabi of Allah. He is not an imposter, he is not a liar. And many people thereafter accepted Islam. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.